Good evening and welcome. This is a great night for my colleague Mark Miller. He's not only written a few really great pieces that you're about to hear, but also it's kind of a time when his own personal life, what he does in his ministry, kind of come together. You don't get a lot of those moments, so it's really wonderful to be part of it. He's always been a person, as long as I've known him, that's been about bringing people from different ethnic groups together. He's always been about bringing men and women together, bringing young and old together, gay and straight together, taking them all, putting them in one place, adding some music, maybe two doses of the Holy Spirit, mixing it up, see what happens. And that's what we're going to do tonight, see what happens. And so we welcome you, some people from Plainfield, we welcome you, people from Summit, some people from Drew, and also New York City. Because we have with us this evening our Reverend Dr. James Forbes, who was the senior minister at Riverside Church in Manhattan until he retired a couple of years ago. And Jim is later on going to read some pieces from Dr. Martin Luther King and make a couple of comments on that. So without further ado, I will tell you two more things. We do have a reception which will follow if you want to join us in the atrium, and the bathrooms are in that area. And as the administration has asked me to remind you, it's on Sunday mornings also.
Oh, we bind up the broken. We'll build a land where the captives go free. Where the oil of gladness dissolve all our mournings. We'll build a promised land that can be.
Yeah. next piece, but we want you to sing with us. And these words are on page 10, combining page 10, all 4,000 tons to sing.
Thank you.
nobody, you know, I met Mr. Gershaw, I'm actually a member, Anissa and Taya Douglas, who sang this with me at the Tony Man Methodist Church. Thanks, Anissa and Taya, and Matthew Grimes.
I won't harm you with words from my mouth. I love you and I need you to survive. I pray for you. You pray for me. I love you. I love you. I love you. And I won't harm you with words from my mouth. I love you. And I pray for you. You pray for me. I love you. And I need you to survive. I will not harm you with words from my mouth. I love you, yes. I pray for you. You pray for me. I love you. And I need you to survive. I won't harm you with words from my mouth. I love you, yes. I pray for you. You pray for me. I love you. And I need you to survive. And I won't harm you with the words from my mouth. Yeah, 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 yeah. God's will. You are important to me.
with you has some syncopated clapping at the end. And you can see if you can join in.
Meaningful instrument to me, it's always how I figured out how to connect to God.
And so my parents, just mom and dad, love you and thank you.
Thank you. I would invite everyone to take their seats and a look in your program. Lift Every Voice and Sing. We invite you to stand and sing with us the three verses of Lift Every Voice and Sing. It's in your program. I'm not sure what page, but you'll find them in the program notes.
Thank you.
Why fades a dream? An iridescent ray flecked in between the tryst of night and day. Why fades a dream of consciousness, the shade wrought out by lack of light and made upon life's stream? Why fades a dream that thought may thrive? So fades the fleshless dream, lest we should learn to trust the things that seem. So fades a dream, that living thought may grow. And like a waxing starbeam glow upon life's stream, so fades a dream. I've known rivers, I've known rivers, ancient as the world and older than the flow of human blood in human veins. I built my hut on the Congo, and it lulled me to sleep. I looked upon the Nile and raised pyramids above it. I heard the singing of the Mississippi when Abe Lincoln went down to New Orleans. And I've seen its muddy bosom turn all golden in the sunset. I've known rivers, ancient dusky rivers. My soul. has grown deep like the river.
Sun to whirl and to dance till the bright day is done. Then rest at cool evening beneath a tall tree. While night comes gently dark like me, that is my dream. To fling my arms wide in the face of the sun, quick day is done. Rest at pale evening a tall slim tree. Night coming tenderly, black like me.
words. There is a very special family in this church congregation who I've known since I was 12 years old. They've been like second. They're family. And Frank sings in the choir, and and Penny down here runs the church.
Oh,
Baptist Church. I was at Marble Collegiate Church for many years, and Ginger was there as soprano soloist. And at coffee hour, he found out that she's here. And so, really, thank you so much, Ginger, for singing.
Certainly one of the greatest ever in Christian history.
Well, you're not part of this yet. It is my humble privilege and overwhelming joy to introduce my good friend, and shall we all welcome him, the Reverend Dr. James A. Ford.
Sometimes you can make history just by showing up. And I speak now not of myself, but of this beautiful gathering here tonight. And did the psalmist say it right? How good and how pleasant it is for brothers and sisters to dwell together in unity. In fact, on an occasion like this, we should take a snapshot of us together, and then follow us throughout the weeks and months to see that what was manifested in the beautiful sanctuary begins to transform the society in which we live. In fact, that is what church is about. Church is about modeling inside the sanctuary that which God intends in all the earth. So here we are. I think heaven looks down tonight and say, now, that's sort of like what I would like for the community to be. But alas, we know we live in a time of extraordinary fragmentation, separation, alienation. And even as there is the reach toward democracy in the Middle East, it's amazing how much violence and assault against one another becomes kind of like the way people learn how to live and the way they try to resolve their conflicts. I come tonight to say to you that while this is a season of disunity. I mean, black and white and gay and straight and northerners and southerners, Democrats and Republicans and birthers and tea parties and no parties. I think we long for this darkness to pass and for the morning light to bring us back to civility and to humanity. Well, I think in times like this, it makes sense to listen to those who have gone before us. And Dr. Martin Luther King would have something to say about what we need to do. In fact, just mentioning Dr. King takes me back to the days, and sometimes we slip and say good old days, but no, there were some bad things about those days. But Dr. King came and lifted before us a vision of what he called the beloved community. And then he set about to help us realize the contours of such a community. Well, you will find it interesting that my mother, Mabel Forbes, in 1958, when I was getting ready to come from Raleigh, North Carolina, to Union Theological Seminary in New York, put into my suitcase two books. One book was the King James Version of the Bible. She knew I was going to a liberal seminary. And she thought I need to read the way the Lord said it from the beginning. And the other book was Stride Toward Freedom by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And I found on between page 104 and 105, a sentence that meant so much to me. Having grown up in the Black Pentecostal tradition, where people stereotyped that tradition as being, you know, just emotion, just full of excitement and singing and shouting and sometimes walking benches. And I was eager to see another understanding. And between page 104 and 105 in Stride Towards Freedom, I ran across this sentence, which is, in a sense, a response to what it's going to take to bring us back together as a community. The sentence said, "The Holy Spirit is the continuing community creating force which moves through history." Strange that Dr. King viewed the Holy Spirit as that which has the prospect of bringing us into community. Amidst the brokenness and the divisions, King believed that there was a spirit at work in the world that would not cease night or day, but that it would keep on until it would help us to realize our common humanity. I think it would be a good time for us to say, Dr. King, you worked it in your day. And if there ever was a time we needed something that knew how to bring us out of our alienation and separation, and you say the Holy Spirit does that, then perhaps we need tonight, as we listen even further to this wonderful gathering and to the music, to be able, while we listen, to breathe a prayer, Holy Spirit, be with us. Touch us in such a way that we see things differently and that we act differently in regards to those who are different from us. So it is in this sense that I'm happy to be here tonight. Mark, I thank you for your leadership in music. And I say of this brother that I like him because his music flows through all the chambers of my heart. I found out I had four chambers. And I have one that just delights in hymns, and another that delights in the classical, music of European background, and another that delights in spirituals, and yet another that delights in gospel. Hang around Brother Mark Miller, and the gospel blood will flow through every chamber in your heart. And I like that about you. And as I begin to remember that this is the concert, I have this to say, Mark. This is in my heart, and still I'm saying these words. People, doesn't matter what your denomination is, or what division of the church you come from, or what faith tradition you come from. Dr. King said it, and I still believe, that the Spirit is the key to community. And this is what I've said in verse. The Spirit is the key to community, where love and justice flow like streams, where the people work together for the common good to make our cities safe for dreams. The Spirit sets us free from anxiety about our neighbors far and near when we learn to welcome strangers, greeting them as friends. No longer are we bound by fear. The Spirit sees the world as a neighborhood. The Spirit yearns for wars to cease. So the Spirit forms a circle of freedom-loving friends to claim the world for joy and peace. Spirit of community, draw us close to Thee. Help us see the beauty within diversity. Begin with me, my family, each neighborhood and nation. Fulfill the dream you had in mind the first day of creation. And then when I do that, then music comes. We are building for the future. May the Spirit fill each heart. Then we will not let our differences tear our souls apart. For we know that we are family, all God's children, great and small. Let's become that new community. We've heard the Spirit's call. Thank you.
injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. For years now, I have heard the word wait. It rings in the ear of every Negro with piercing familiarity. This wait has almost always meant never. Perhaps it is easy for those who have never felt the stinging darts of segregation to say wait. But when you have seen vicious mobs lynch your mothers and fathers at will, and drown your brothers and sisters at whim, when you have seen hate-filled policemen curse, kick, even kill your black brothers and sisters, when you see the vast majority of your Negro brothers smothering in an airtight cage of poverty, when you suddenly find your tongue twisted and your speech stammering, as you seek to explain to your six-year-old daughter why she can't go to the amusement park and see tears welling up in her eyes when she is told that fun time is closed to colored children, and see ominous clouds of inferiority beginning to form in her little mental sky. When you are humiliated day in and day out by the nagging signs reading white and colored, when you are harried by day and haunted by night by the fact that you are a Negro living constantly at tiptoe stance, never quite knowing what to expect next, and are plagued with inner fears and outer resentments, when you are forever fighting a denigrating sense of nobodiness, then you will understand why we find it difficult to wait. We will have to repent in this generation, not merely for the hateful words and actions of the bad people, but for the appalling silence of the good people. Human progress never rolls in on wheels of inevitability. It comes through the tireless efforts of people willing to be co-workers with God. I have traveled the length and breadth of Alabama, Mississippi, and all the other southern states. On sweltering summer days and crisp autumn mornings, I have looked at the South's beautiful churches with their lofty spires pointing heavenward. Over and over, I have asked myself, what kind of people worship here? Who is their God? Where were their voices of support when bruised and weary Negro men and women decided to rise from the dark dungeons of complacency to the bright hills of creative protest? Yes, these questions are still in my mind. In deep disappointment, I have wept over the church. but be assured that my tears have been tears of joy. There can be no deep disappointment where there is not deep love. Yes, I love the church. How could I do otherwise? But I am thankful to God that noble souls from the ranks of organized religions have broken loose from the paralyzing chains of conformity and joined us in the struggle for freedom. They have left their secure congregations and gone down the highway of the South in tortuous rides for freedom. Yes, they have gone to jail with us. Some have been dismissed from their churches, have lost the support of their bishops and fellow ministers, but they have acted in the faith that right defeated is stronger than evil triumphant. But even if the church does not come to the aid of justice, I have no despair about the future. I have no fear about the outcome of our struggle. Even if our motives are presently misunderstood, abused and scorned though we may be, our destiny is tied up with America's destiny. If the inexpressible cruelties of slavery could not stop us, the opposition we face now will surely fail. We will win our freedom, because the sacred heritage of our nation and the eternal will of God are embodied in our echoing demands.